Now, can you explain to us a little bit more about this fungus outbreak? What exactly caused it in the first place?
Chytrid fungus, we believe, came to Australia from overseas. So it's what we call an invasive organism. And so there was probably no deliberate release. It's arrived in Australia on some other produce or animals that have come to Australia somewhere in about the mid-1970s. And has then, after that time, gradually spread and is pretty much across the whole of the country where it's moist.
Are there particular Australian fog species that are actually in danger because of this fungus?
Well, since about 1992, we know that 7 species have gone extinct already, and there are another 5 that are extremely threatened at present, so their numbers are in the wild are very small, and perhaps another 10 or 15 that we know have the fungus, and we're still quite not sure what the outcome will be over a longer period of time.
I imagine that sort of thing has roll-on effects for the rest of the ecosystem.
Yeah, it does. I mean, certainly we know in theory that in an ecosystem there are food webs and food chains, and all organisms are interconnected. And so when you remove one organism, then the food chain has to readjust or other things may actually disappear. So if there are other organisms that lived only on the frogs, and that would be the case for bacteria in their stomachs and things, then they'll be gone as well. It's very hard to pick up that sort of change in an ecosystem, believe it or not. But in theory, yeah, we'd certainly expect that.
Well, the good news here, obviously, is that we have discovered this new resistance gene in some frogs. Could you explain to us a little bit about how we might have seen that one develop?
Well, so chytrid is a disease, and what normally happens when a disease affects any organism, any animal or plant, is that natural selection takes place, and there'll be some animals or some individuals that will be resistant to the disease. So that's the process of natural selection. So they survive, and they then pass on their genes to the next generation, and so we end up with a population that gradually grows and is resistant. And so it requires that in the particular animal that there is some capacity for resistance. And we do know that in Australia that several frogs that were severely affected by chytrid have gradually recovered in the last decade or so. So their populations, we've monitored them and seen them grow. So we assume that they have some resistance, and that resistance is genetic and passed on.
Now, funnily enough, completely unrelated to this interview I was having with you today, Michael, I have actually seen some talk around saving certain frog species by, you know, conservationists and the like. This particular fungus, this disease, it's something that they've been struggling with for years and years, a way to find a way around this disease, saving frogs that are affected by this disease. If there was the discovery of a resistance in certain species, might there be the possibility of transferring those genes or in some way helping to cure the disease in other species from this discovery?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly one of the proposals, that if there is a resistant gene, and all animals have a group of genes that provide us with the capacity, or provide the animal with the capacity to deal with disease. So in our own case, we have what are called the MHC genes, the major histocompatibility genes, and they are responding through your lifetime as you get bacteria and infections. We make antibodies and we adjust. So this is a very active process, and the proposal would be that if there are some resistant genes in this group in frogs, that what we'd be able to do is take them from the resistant species and put them into non-resistant species in what's called a transgenic approach, so where we would do some genetic engineering to introduce a resistant gene into a non-resistant species. This is incredibly expensive and fairly high technology, but it may be the only way in the long run that we can save some frogs, which we know are currently highly susceptible to this disease.
And just as a final point, Michael, in the long run, just how far off might we see the use of this technology?
Well, I think we're decades away, unfortunately, because firstly you have to identify the resistant genes and target them. And we already know that some resistance is actually not provided by the frog itself, but by what we call the biota that lives on its skin. So frogs have a natural group of organisms living on their skin, bacteria and the like, which are good bacteria like we have in our gut, good bacteria that help us digest our food and detoxify things that we put into our digestive system. And so on the outside of skin, there's this whole flora of bacteria and some other fungi, and some of the resistance is actually coming from that. And so it's not the frog itself that's resistant, it's actually what's on its skin. And so this is another challenge, because we have to then take those bacteria and introduce them perhaps to frogs that are not resistant. And so these are symbiotic relationships in nature, which are millions of years of evolution. And to think that we might be able to do that in a short time frame, I think, is a little bit fanciful, actually.
Well, Michael, thank you very much. Really do appreciate your time having a bit of a chat with us about this one.
No trouble at all, Sean. Pleasure.